Please turn with me to chapter 23 of Job. For our main scripture tasks, although we will look at chapter 22, we must look at Eliphaz before we go back to Job. Then Job answered and said, "Even today my complaint is bitter, my hand is listless because of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in his great power? No, but he would take note of me. There the upright could reason with him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. Look, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is unique, and who can make him change? And whatever his soul desires, that he does. For he performs what is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore, I am terrified at his presence. When I consider this, I am afraid of him. For God made my heart weak, and the Almighty terrifies me, because I was not cut off from the presence of darkness, and he did not hide deep darkness from my face." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with us tonight as we contemplate your word and we look into your holy scriptures. We pray, Lord, that you would show us what we need to hear tonight, Lord, to encourage our hearts, to strengthen our faith, to help us to trust in your word. Lord, give us light, for that is what we need tonight. And we pray your blessing upon our service and upon the words that are spoken. We pray and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message tonight is Trusting in God's Word Brings Light. Light and darkness are spoken much in Scripture, and what we certainly need more than anything in our lives is light. There's much about it. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he is the light of our salvation. We know that Satan is the prince of darkness. And we know that in light, we see courage, we see hope, we see faith, we see trust. In darkness, we see fear, we see distrust, we see hate. And so tonight, much of what we'll look to is the difference we see between Eliphaz in chapter 22 and Job in chapter 23. And we'll see what darkness is all about. And darkness comes from the lack of truth. And we just prayed, Pastor Doug prayed for light, that this world of ours, that our country would have light and not the darkness that we have in our country because of the lack of love for the word of God and for truth. And so we see that we will deal tonight with this issue of darkness and light and what can help us to overcome the darkness, even in our own life, as Job is experiencing darkness. Job is in much darkness. He expresses that he is walking in darkness. He is in the wilderness. He doesn't know why God is doing this. He doesn't have any idea why this is happening to him. His friend, of course, knows exactly why it's happening. But Job doesn't know. And so Job is walking in darkness. Yet, Job has the light. And that is Job's hope. And my hope tonight is that as we look into this idea of darkness and light, as we see that, and we come to have this hope and courage and trust and faith because of light that we have in the Word of God and trusting in that Word. But let's look for a moment in chapter 22 of Job, where Eliphaz begins his judgment of Job. And we see immediately in verses 4 and 5, we see that Eliphaz begins to accuse him even earlier. He says, you know, is it because of your fear of him in verse 4 that God corrects you? In other words, is it because you fear him so much that God corrects you, Job, and enters into judgment with you? In verse 5, is it not your wickedness that is great and your iniquity without end? And so he comes and he tells Job right to his face that, Job, is this because of your great faith and fear of God that you're in this mess? Or is it, Job, because of your wickedness and your tremendous wickedness? He says, without end. And in verses 6 through 10, he goes on to speak about what Job did not do, the righteousness that Job didn't do. And a matter of fact, how Job did unrighteousness to those in the community. And we'll speak to that. And we'll actually look in Job chapter 29 and we'll see how Job was a light in his community. Job was a man who helped the poor, who helped the widows, who helped those who were in need. And here we have the lie. Here we have the lie of Satan coming to Job. Another test for Job, another friend who comes to Job by God's design to bring darkness, to bring lies, and to test Job and to test the truth that he has in his heart. And so we see also in verses 12 to 14 how Eliphaz speaks to Job about God and how the reality of God and what God can see and what God can't see. He's saying this, that this is what Job believes, that, you know, God can't see through all of this. Matter of fact, what Job is going through. And then in verses 15 to 20, he talks about the wicked and asks as if Job will continue to be part of the wicked. He look at verse 15 with me. He says, will you keep to the old way which wicked men have trod, who were cut down before their time, whose foundations were swept away by a flood? Job, don't you realize that you are on this wicked way? Are you going to continue the wicked way of old? And then in verses 21 to 23, he begins to tell Job that he needs to acquaint himself with God. Can you imagine this Eliphaz, a friend, coming to Job and saying, you know, Job, you need to acquaint yourself with your God, the one who had just said he knows his Redeemer lives and he's looking and searching for his God. How many of you here tonight cannot see God in your life? You have no vision of God. You're walking in darkness and you can't see God. Well, Job is not in that case, but Eliphaz is bringing as much darkness as he can to the situation. He tells him that if you, Job, in verses 21 to 3, if you submit to God, good will come. In other words, Job, if you will prosper both materially and spiritually, if you acquaint yourself with your God and receive instruction in verse 22 from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. Isn't that wonderful theology? Isn't it true that if we lay up God's words in our heart, that we would prosper? Of course, not the way that the health and wealth preachers would say, but it sounds like great theology. And he says also in verses 24 to 26, he says, if Job will delight in the Lord and not in gold, peace and light will be his. Terrific theology from Eliphaz. If you pray, verse 27, you will make your prayer to him and he will hear you. In verse 28, you will also declare a thing and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. This is the theology of a friend who comes to give Job all of his own personal views of God and his theology. And while many of the words are true, when you put it all together, there is much lie and there is much darkness here in what Eliphaz has to say. You see, Job, you could be restored. If you repent, Job, all the things that you had will be restored to you. Now, that's amazing, isn't it? You think about it, because we know the end of the story. Job doesn't repent to get everything restored. Well, he does repent, but that's not why he does it. He repents because he sees God in all his glory. God comes in the whirlwind, and Job is just amazed at his God, and God begins to question him. And God does not say that Job sinned. God says that his friends have sinned, and it is only because of Job that his friends will be saved. And so Job does get things restored, all of his family, all of his goods restored back, but it's not because of his repentance. What a prophet Eliphaz is. We have many of these prophets in our day. You hear them on the radio. Their theology sounds great in accord with the word of God. But in reality, it is man-centered. It is worldly, and it lacks truth. And it's all about what I can get from my theology. You see, it's all about me, and it's all about you. Last week, remember, we saw Zophar. In the first six verses of the Zophar's last speech, it was all about me and my. Six times in two verses, he said, listen to me, listen to what I have to say. It's all about what I think and me and my. And so we saw that Zophar's self-centeredness blinded him to the truth, and he was in darkness. And in chapter 22 here, Eliphaz is the same. You see, Job, it's all about you. It's all about your sin. It's all about your lack of good deeds. That's the problem, Job. If you would only do this, or if you would only do that, you would have what you really need and want. You see, it's not about the glory of God. It's about you. It's about your performance and what you win. It's about you speaking and it shall come to pass. It's about prosperity and pleasure can be yours only if you repent. It's about you, Job. That's what I'm telling you. Where is the gospel here? Where is the gospel? Where is God who loves his people, loves you and me who are his, who he's chosen from the foundation of the world? Where is the gospel that he is pursuing us, continually active, pursuing you, pursuing me in a way that he's pursuing Job? I'm not sure we like being pursued that way, but Job is being pursued by the God who loves him, by the God who cares about him. This is the gospel, and the cause of all these things is for the glory of God. This God, the Almighty, the Provider, the Deliverer, where is he in Eliphaz's theology? He doesn't exist because Eliphaz can't see him, and the truth is not there. You see, brethren, Eliphaz, like his friends, are a tool in Satan's hands. And his job is to tempt Job to trust the lies of the deceiver, to bite the forbidden fruit, to take the bait, to flee from the truth, and to separate him from the only one that can give him light and truth. Many of us, we believe the lie. The lies of the devil that come and speak to our minds and speak to our hearts. And we flee and we leave God. We walk away from God because we're not faithful to the truth. We're not trusting in the word of God. And so we distance ourselves from the only one who can give us what we need. And that is true light. If that describes you tonight, if you are fleeing from God in that way and you are brought, you have bought the lie of the evil one that has brought to you, even if you are a believer, and you have bought the lies of the devil, that you're not trusting in the promises of God, that all of his promises are true. Every word in the scripture is true. And this truth gives us light, and the light gives us freedom. And the freedom is where we get from the truth, which sets us free. If you are an unbeliever tonight, you're in Satan's grip. You're like Eliphaz. You're just a tool that Satan uses. You're one who doesn't need to tempt you. He already owns you. You're a slave. If you're not in Christ, you're a slave to Satan. You're in darkness. Whether you like it or not, you're in darkness. And God is against you. But Satan has you already. And the only thing you can do is Satan's bidding. The only thing you can do is sin. The only thing you have is wickedness and sin, and you're enslaved. And so in order to come to the light, in order to have freedom and truth, you need to come to Christ. You need to see the truth. This way, when the Eliphazes of the world and the Satans of the world come to you with their lies, you have the promises of God, which says that all those who come to him in truth, all those who flee to him in truth and repent, will have and do have eternal life. And will be saved and will persevere to the end. And we pray that those of us who are beloved tonight, those of you who are in Christ, I pray that if you are believing the lie and you're not trusting God's word, that you will submit to the Lord tonight and trust him. Remember, in the beginning, when God said by his word to Adam and Eve, when he said that they could eat of any tree of the garden except for one, the tree of life. I'm sure many of you remember the story, especially the young folks remember the story of Adam and Eve. And God said, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you will surely die. Now, that was the truth. That was spoken by God. That was his word to his first creation. And what does the devil do? The devil comes immediately upon that word being spoken, comes immediately and says, and it says in the Genesis that he was more crafty than any beast of the field that the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, he didn't even ask the right questions, God said, you can't eat of any tree? And she said, no. She said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree of the garden, we may eat from any of the fruit of the trees. But from the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, that one we cannot eat. For God has said, you shall eat of it or touch it, you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not die. Surely you will not die. For God knows in the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when she saw that the tree was good, see, she had the truth. She had the truth of God's word. And then the lie came. And then she saw that, oh, this is a good looking tree, a delight to the eyes and desirable to make one wise. She took from it and she ate and she gave it to her husband and they ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened and the light came in. And they were naked and they sewed fig trees and made themselves loin coverings. And what did they do? The first thing they do was they flee from God. And they fled into the trees to hide themselves from God. Because what? Because they were now in darkness. Because the sin had come and darkness had come. Fear had come. And now they were in fear, in darkness. Spiritual darkness had entered the world. So, brethren, the first thing we learn from this Eliphaz is that the lesson we have is that if we succumb to the temptation to distrust the true word of God and trust the lies of the evil one, fear and darkness comes into our lives and we no longer walk in the presence of God. Like Adam and Eve, who were no longer in the presence of God, but they fled and they were in darkness and in fear and were naked and empty and void of the truth. Notice what Eliphaz says to Job's face regarding how he lived your life. He said, is not your wickedness great and your iniquities without end? If you have taken pledges from your brothers without cause and stripped men naked, to the weary you have given no water to drink, and from the hungry you withheld bread. The lies of the devil come continually to us, and we must learn to trust the word of God. We trust that every word that is spoken is true. But when we refuse to listen, and when we do refuse to listen to that falsehood and trust his word, no matter what the circumstances, light eventually comes. And with it, hope and courage and peace. We'll see that in Job chapter 23, as Job deals with the lies, as he's even walking in darkness. There's hope comes because Job trusts in the word of God and he stands upon the word and he stands upon the promises of God. And eventually, peace comes. And when we trust his revealed word, brethren, if we can stand upon those promises that are true for us, who has the Lord who has brought you and me who are in Christ into the marvelous light of his word, we too can have that peace and comfort that God desires to give to us. Well, we may be walking in darkness tonight. You may be in trials. You may be in tribulation, but light will come. If you stand upon the word of God and you stand upon his promises, God will bring the light. And we see that the Lord in all his splendor, that he is our strength and our fortress and our ever-present help in time of trouble. If you are fearful tonight, and you lack courage and strength, and your hope is dim, it is because you're not trusting in God's word. And you need to come and seek the Lord and trust his word. If you are distant from him, separated from unbelief, you're not reading your word, you're not reading the Bible, you're not praying the scriptures, you're not listening to God, it's because you don't trust in the sovereign hand of God. And so we need to take note of Peter's word. Peter, as we heard this morning, Peter was a great man of God. And yet when he said, I'm going to follow you, I'm going to do everything you want me to do. And the next thing you know, he denied our Lord. This same Peter, speaking of trials and tribulations where Job is right now, where you might be right now, he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and so that he may exalt you in due time. Not today, maybe, not tomorrow, but in due time, he will exalt you. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And he says, be sober and vigilant, because the devil comes around roaring like a lion, and he seeks those whom he may devour. But the context, brethren, he says, resist him steadfast in the faith. Well, how do I resist the devil steadfast in my faith? It's by trusting in his word and not in the lies of Satan. And Peter says, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. He's talking about the concept of when we're suffering is when Satan comes in and brings in the lies and the darkness. We're dealing with situations in our life. We're having struggles with our family. We're having struggles with our spouse. We're having struggles with our kids, kids with their parents, struggles between one another, struggles at work, difficulties. Satan comes in and brings more lies so that we're not standing upon the truth and standing upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, this is what's going on, brethren, Peter says. He says, this is going on all over the world and all the brotherhood. They're all experiencing trials and tribulations. But resist the devil. Stand fast on the word of God. When the devil comes and lies, we stand upon the word of God. And may, he says, and then may the God of all grace, who called us by his eternal glory, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. This is what we have, the truth of the word of God that we can stand upon when those trials come, when those difficulties come. In Job, here in chapter 23, we see a different story from Eliphaz. We see the Job walking in darkness, seemingly deserted by God, yet he has not lost his hope. He desires to see his God. He desires to communicate with his Redeemer. He knows his Redeemer lives, but he cannot find him. He doesn't know where to find him, no matter how hard he looks for him. Job is looking for him to the left, to the right, to the front, to the back, and he can't find him. But unlike Eliphaz, Job knows the truth, and he trusts in the truth of God's word because he has hidden the word of God in his heart. And we'll see that in Job chapter 23. So that no one, including Eliphaz's two friends, including Satan himself, can steal from Job, because Job has the word of God hidden in his heart, and he's trusting in that word. This is, in fact, what the whole issue when God confidently said to Satan, how about my servant Job? Would you like to try my servant Job? He's a man of uprightness, integrity. And he believes in my word. He trusts in my word. And Satan said, if you give him these trials and you take away what he has, he'll curse you to your face. But God knows for you and for me that his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for you and for me and for Job. His grace was sufficient so that Job would not trust Satan's lies, would not come and be, while he was tempted by Satan and by his friends, that he would stick to the word of God and trust the word of God. And that was his hope. And that was his comfort in the midst of this darkness that he was going through. Look at me at chapter 23, in verse 3, where Job says, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. He desires to come and see him. Look at verse 8 and 9. He says, look, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I can't see him. Job is in darkness. He's deserted by God. Anybody here feel like they've been deserted by God in the trials that they're experiencing? Job, while in the dark as to why this was happening, this unbelievable trial, does not cease to seek after his Lord and his Redeemer. He is depressed. He is full of anxiety. But he continues to seek after his God. He is lonely. His friends lack compassion. Even his wife wants him to curse God and die. And in verse 4 to 7, he says, I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would learn the words which he would answer and perceive what he would say to me. Job doesn't even know what he's saying here, because he's going to hear it later on. He doesn't really understand what he's saying. Would he contend with me by the greatness of his power? Surely no. He would pay attention to me. There the upright could reason with him. Now there is nothing new under the sun here, brethren. Nothing new. How many of us, even when our trials are nowhere near the trials of Job and the loss that he has experienced, yet we too are put under these trials. And it sometimes brings us to the point of depression. We saw David in the life of David during the morning service, how David is brought to fear and anxiety to the point of making himself pretend to be mad. We are brought many times to these difficult trials and temptations that sometimes bring us to these points of depression and anxiety and loneliness. And what do we need at such times as this? What is the answer to our difficulty, our dilemma that we're dealing with? Well, we certainly look to counseling, pastoral counseling and prayer and reading the Word of God and friends and good counsel, even medication when needed. Perhaps some or all of these are needed, but the one thing that we need most is to have being pointed to the truth. Being pointed to the truth of God so that we can stand upon that truth and have a vision for God. But without the truth of God's Word in our hearts, without it being hidden, if we're not reading the Word of God and soaking in God's Word and meditating upon God's Word, we're not trusting in the living Word of God, and we have not the hope because our trust is not anchored in the Word, and we have no vision of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw the hymn that we just sung, Bread of Life, that the last stanza says, please, Lord, reveal to me yourself in your Word. Reveal to me. Let me see you, who you are in your Word. This is where Job desires to go. And so the second point tonight is that there is hope and courage to press on in trials when the light, when it comes to the Word of God. This light only comes when we're standing upon the Word of God and upon the Word of God, the rock, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. Jesus himself trusted in every jot and tittle of the Word of God. Remember, he said that not one jot or tittle will pass away till every one is fulfilled. Every single word of God in the scriptures will be fulfilled. Every promise will be guaranteed. Everything that he says is there. And so, brethren, we need to trust in this word of God. You see, Job is here to show us there's nothing new under the sun, especially when we're dealing with Satan and the lies of Satan and those whom he uses to come against us in our life, to cause the trials and tribulation that God is using to pursue us, to bring us to himself and to confidence and trusting in his word. Like the psalmist, Job says that you, Lord, are with me. And your staff, your rod and their staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness, that goodness and loving kindness is not something we're expecting in this world in the sense of things to happen to us. That is the goodness of God. The loving kindness, that steadfast love of God that Job knows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me. God will pursue me forever. He's pursuing me now. He's pursuing you right now, all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How can Job speak like this? Listen to what he has to say here in chapter 23. Look with me in verse 10 of chapter 23. After dealing with not being able to find God, he's pursuing God. He doesn't understand what's going on and he's in darkness, but he comes and he says, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." Job is confident that this is a test from God. He knows exactly where it's coming from. He knows exactly why Eliphaz is saying what he's saying. He knows that this is a test. He knows everything that's been going on is a test for him. And again, like Peter, Job by faith can say what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1. Where Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope." Do you have a living hope today? Are you here with a living hope? "Through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and not fade away and reserved in heaven for you." This is the word of God. We have a heaven reserved for you and for me, this inheritance. And we are protected, he says, by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed. In this you greatly rejoice. This is Job. In this you greatly rejoice, even though for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed. Job's been distressed by various trials. And Peter says, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to the praise and the glory and honor at the revelation of Christ. See, it's all about the glory of God. It's all about the praise and honor of God. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's not about Zophar and it's not about Eliphaz. It's not about Job. It's about God and his glory. And this is the reason that Job is going through all of this. "And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him and his word, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul." Like Paul, Job can say, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in me will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus." He can be confident, brethren, in God's promises. He says here that he knows the way. God knows exactly what's going on with me. Every detail of my life. "And I will come forth as gold after the trial." Job is confident in the word of God. And so Job can be confident that God is going to do the work that God desires to do. And even like the Lord Jesus, Job here, even though a righteous man has done so much righteousness in his life, he is being accused of wickedness by his friend. Turn with me for a minute to Job chapter 29. In the beginning, Job is pondering what used to be with God, how God has the light that God shone upon him, how prosperous he was and how good things were going. And then he begins to talk about what had happened during those days. In verse 7, he says, "When I went out to the gate by the city, when I took my seat at the open square, the young man saw me and hid. And the aged arose and stood. The princes refrained from talking and put their hand over their mouth." The princes, the ones who were the great ones, put their hands over their mouth because they wouldn't speak because of Job's greatness in terms of his righteousness and what he was doing. "The voice of nobles," in verse 10, "was hushed, and their tongue stuck to the roof of their mouth. They couldn't speak when I passed by. When the ear heard, then it blessed me. When the eye saw, then it approved me. Because what? I delivered the poor who cried out, the fatherless and the one who had no helper. The blessing of a perishing man came upon me. He helped all those who came to him. and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Job caused the ones who had nothing, the ones in those days who were poor and outcast, he caused them to jump for joy because of his righteousness and what he did for them. This is the Job. And yet Eliphaz is coming to him with these lies, he's just tormenting Job with these lies. But Job, going back to chapter 23, in verse 11, this is where Job stands. Job says, "My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside." Job is rebuking the lie. Not in a gentle way, in a humble way, but he's rebuking the lie. And he says, "I have not departed from his ways." And in verse 12, "I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Job, we don't know if Job had any word of God there, any written word. But Job knew the word of God. How it was revealed to Job, we don't know. But Job had the word of God, and he stood upon that word. "My foot has held fast to my path. I have kept his way. I have treasured the words of his mouth." He reminds us here, brethren, does he not, of the last Adam, the final Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, who, unlike our first parents, succumbed to the lies of the devil and had fear and darkness. The last Adam was a man who, like us, the God-man, who did not succumb to the lies of the devil, who stood upon the word of God, who knew the word of God from his father. And so he reminds us of this one who overcame. And though his temptations were so much greater than ours, remember, when Jesus was led up into the wilderness after his baptism, Jesus was immediately led up into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And he became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Son of God, of the mouth of God." Satan says, "If you are the Son of God," remember what had just happened. Jesus had just been baptized in the Jordan. Remember, right before this, he's just been baptized. And as Jesus comes out of the water, God the Father speaks, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. If you are the Son of God," Satan says to the one who has just spoken, who had just heard the words of his father. It is when we hear the word tonight that Satan will come to you. Satan will bring immediately to you the lie and immediately ask you, "Are you really a Christian? After what you did today, are you really a believer? Are you really one of God's children? If you are the Son of God, remember that Jesus had just been spoken of by his father. And after being baptized, he came up immediately from the water, and there it was. And after Satan tried two more times to tempt Jesus to distrust, the whole idea was to get him not to trust in the word of his father, right? That was the whole idea of Satan. It's the whole idea of Satan with Job right now, not to trust God. And so Jesus, the true Son of God, God sent immediately. It's interesting. As soon as Satan was finished and Satan left, the Father brings all of his angels to minister to Christ. Angels of ministry come. As we heard this morning, we have angels of ministry available to us as we stand upon the word of God, as we stand upon the truth of God's word. God will bring light and comfort and courage and strength. May we learn from Job, a man weak and frail as he was, but he had hope and he had courage in the face of these trials, trusting in the infallible, inerrant word of God. Even in darkness, light shines, because God is always, his word is always a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so the true light, Jesus Christ, who lives in us, can comfort us and give us hope. So we have the darkness and we have the lies of Satan. And we have those who are trapped in the lie, those who are Satan's own, slaves to Satan. We have us who the devil comes to tempt and to ask, is it true? Is what you believe true? Is the word of God true? And then we have, like Job, we learn that when we do stand upon the word of God, we have hope and we have courage and we have strength to continue to fight the fight. And finally, brethren, we see that as a result of Job's steadfastness upon the word of God and trusting in his word, he gets a clearer vision of God. He can see God and he knows that it's God's sovereign hand that is doing this right now. And in the darkness, even the darkness cannot extinguish the light of God's word. And so we learn, look with me in verse 13 through 17. He says here, but he is unique. Now here, Job just says, I'm standing upon the word of God and he will take me where he wants me and I will come forth as gold because I'm standing on the word and I've hidden that word in my heart and no one will take that word from me. And then he says in verse 13, he says, but God is unique and who can make him change? And whatever his soul desires, that he does. For he performs what is appointed for me and many such things are with him. It's all about God. It's all about what he's doing in my life. It's all about what he desires to do in my life. Because he has the light of the word and trusts his word as Lord and his word, the darkness cannot extinguish this light. It reminds me of the hymn that we sing, the light of the world has stepped down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. When God comes down and we are recognized that it is God who's at work and we stand upon the truth of his word, we come and we see a vision of clearer vision of who God is, what he's doing in our lives. And we recognize that, like Job did, that he is unique and who's going to change God's ways? God's ways are above our ways. And we need to submit to God's ways and submit to his word. And whatever his soul desires, that he does. And I'm going to submit to that. I'm going to submit to whatever God has for me. And he performs what is appointed for me. And many such things are with him. So if tonight you are in darkness and you feel that the Lord is not present and feeling somewhat deserted, all of God's people go through these periods of darkness and a feeling of walking in wilderness. We see that in David's life this morning. But we are to be of good cheer, brethren, because God's word is true and we can trust it. He tells us we can stand on the rock. We can stand on the living word. Like Job, we must treasure his word in our hearts. And the living word who resides in us. Brethren, we have the living word. We not only have the written word, we have the living word of God residing in our hearts. If you are here tonight in Christ, you have the living word of God residing in you tonight. And he desires to guard and to strengthen you. He says, like Job, as he treasures the word in his heart, in the scriptures, he says that he will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. If we stand upon the rock and we stand upon the word, that's a promise. If we seek after the Lord like Job, who is in darkness and gloom, he couldn't be silent. He had to earnestly speak the truth, which was hidden in his heart, and pursued the truth. We will have light to see the truth more clearly if we stand upon the word. Our vision will improve. Many of us need improved vision, physically as well as spiritually. We need to have improved vision of who the Lord is and what he is doing in our lives. And he's pursuing us individually. Each one of you, he's pursuing. And we will see as we stand upon the word, our vision of who God is will improve. And we will see, we will have hope, we'll have comfort, and we will have peace. Because God says that we are to, in Philippians, remember how he says that we are to whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good report, if there's any excellence or anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. When Satan comes and he brings all of even those who are against us, what are we dwelling upon? Are we dwelling upon the truth, the light, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's good? Dwell on these things. Paul said, and he probably would say of Job also, he says, these things you have learned and heard from me and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. In 1 Peter, he says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand that Job says, whatever his soul desires, that he does. For it performs what is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares and anxieties on him, because he cares for you. But he says, be sober and on the alert, because the devil will come with all of his lies. And you need to know that this is the plan for you and for me, that God will come and he will pursue us, and he will continue to pursue us and continue to test our faith, so that we can say at the end of this, God will complete it on the day of Christ Jesus, and I will come forth as gold. If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, gold is the furthest thing that you will come forth as. The Bible speaks of hell as a place that is torment. The torment that's so much worse than what Job's going through right now. If you would flee to Christ and you would have that imperishable inheritance that is for all those who come to him in faith, could be yours. And you too will be like pure gold when Jesus returns. May you come to Christ tonight. And if you are struggling with trials and temptations, you're not alone. For all the brotherhood and all the sisterhood are dealing with these temptations and these trials. If we stand upon the word of God, darkness leaves, fear leaves, trust comes, hope comes. And as we stand upon the word of God, we see God more clearly, and we trust him, and we stand for him, and we encourage one another to do the same. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would show us this word that would encourage our hearts, that you have brought to us, that we would stand upon the truth of your word, that we would not listen to the lies, no matter how often we fail, because it is not about us. It's about you, O Lord. It is about Jesus Christ. It is about our union with him. And so we thank you, Father, that those of us who are in Christ are in union with you, and that you live with us and you are residing in us, and you will bring us to where you would have us go. And so, Lord, we submit our lives to you, and we pray for those who have not submitted their lives to you tonight. We pray that they would see the light, that you would open their eyes to the truth, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.